Woo! That's good right there. Psalm 91. Apologize to some of you for having to put up with me today, but it'll make tonight's service so much better because I'm not preaching for you. Amen. Well, we're glad that the Lord, we can stand in His presence and just be in awe at Him. And thank the Lord for that. Psalm 91. We'll get there in a little bit. I'll give you a little introduction, and then we're going to preach on a subject that I hope that'll be a help to you today, and hope that we'll hopefully just kind of give you some excitement about the Lord today. The symbol that God uses in Psalm 91 is a symbol of wings that are there to illustrate His protection and His care over things that He values. And if you're saved today, He values you. He values you as His child, as part of His family. But as I begin to study the Bible and wings in the Bible, one of the first mentions of the word wings in the Bible is found, and you can just listen to this or write it down, Exodus 19:4 says, "You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." The first mention there of wings in the Bible was when God said, "When I brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, I brought them out on wings of an eagle." And you study the eagle, and we're not going to do that today, but they're unique creatures. Some of them can have wingspans over 6 feet, and they can kill and destroy in a matter of moments, but they also can care with their wings, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Then the second mention is in chapter 25 in verse 20, when God is setting up worship and rules there in the tabernacle, and He says, "And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, and shall the faces of the cherubims be." So on top of the mercy seat, there were two cherubims that faced each other, and their wings were pointing toward one another. And I just want to give you a free bonus today, is that with natural light underneath those wings, it would have cast a shadow. But when the glory of God filled that temple and filled that tabernacle, it didn't matter that there was a shadow there, but He filled it, and it was a picture there, and there's so much there. By the way, if you want a good study, study cherubims. The first mention of cherubims in the Bible is when Adam and Eve sinned, and God sent them out of the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says that He put two cherubims at the gate with flaming fire and not letting them back into Eden. And then you see them covering the mercy seat. Another good little thing is you don't find them in the book of Revelation. You know why? Because they're not protecting anything. We're allowed to go back into Eden. Just a good little reference there. That's free. No offering taken on that one. I've done that a couple times in Sunday school. And then Boaz says this to Ruth in Ruth chapter 2 verse 12. He said, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given of thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Even Boaz to Ruth used this illustration that the wings of God, that she had come underneath the wings of God and His protection. Now we skip to the New Testament in Matthew 23:37. The Bible refers back to the Old Testament and says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." God says, look, He's given an allegory or a picture here. He says to Jerusalem that I came to my own and my own received me not. He said, I would have gathered you as the hens do at a chicken, but you said, no, I don't want to. God uses another analogy of the wings. Let's see in Psalm 91... how God uses this, again, this analogy of wings. He says in verse 1 of Psalm 91, He says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilent that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And that just simply means in case you fall, you walk away. And he says in verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be him in trouble. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. After we pray, I want to preach on the subject of very simple, his wings. His wings. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you, God, for your wings, Lord, the picture that you've given us here through many scriptures, God, that we can come underneath there and find protection and find care in the time of need. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And God, I ask you to help me today as I preach. God, I sure need you. I need the filling of the Spirit today. Lord, I need to say exactly what you want me to say and not what I would have myself to say. So, Lord, I yield to you, to your word, to your will today, and ask that you would use this time that we have together to honor and glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. As you see in Psalm 91, God gives us a beautiful picture of wings. Now, obviously, God does not have wings. You're not going to get to heaven, and Jesus Christ is going to come flying over there to you. It's a picture that he's given us. There's several pictures in the Bible that he gives us, and this is one of them. And so I want to say, number one, is that, or kind of as a beginning, is what is it like to be underneath the wings of God? I want to give you three things today. I believe that will be a help to us as we look at being under the wings of Almighty God. Number one, it is a strong place. Underneath the wings of God is a strong place. Go back to verses 1 and 2. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. By the way, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the shadow of the Almighty. You know what that means? He's leading and I'm following. Hello? Let me say it again for some of you that already went to sleep, is that he's leading and I'm following. And when you follow somebody, you follow in their shadow, and that's where I want to be. In verse 2 it says, and I will say unto the Lord, he is my what? He says, my refuge, which means shelter. But notice the next one, and my fortress. That word fortress means this, strong place. Wonder where I got my first point from. Shelter, he is a refuge, a shelter, he is a fortress, he is a strong place. Can I tell you, nothing can get to you as a child of God unless God allows it. He has fortified your life, he has made a strong place for you. Psalm 24:8 says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Psalm 61:3 says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from my enemy. Psalm 71:3 says, be thou my strong habitation whereunto I continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Psalm 71:7 says, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Hello. I've been through a lot of hurricanes in my life, living in Florida, Alabama area, but Florida mainly. Those hurricanes. And can I say that it don't take long to figure out what kind of house you have when a hurricane comes. I was raised most of my life in a double-wide trailer. Can I just remind you, I don't care how many straps they put on those things, they are not a fortress, right? The only good thing about a trailer is that the water goes under it. But the wind will not pass you by. I never forget whenever I was a kid, one time we were living in a single wide, I think at the time, I can't remember, it's been a while. It's been a lot of moons ago. And I remember we got the warning, you know, back in the day on the radio. Y'all remember those things where you had to turn the dial? You know what the first remote was, don't you? Kids. Right? I remember my dad going, go turn that TV. Right? Click, 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 click. And then he'd go, all right, you got to go outside and turn the antenna. Dad, is it okay? A little bit more. Nope, you went too far. Go back the other way, you know. Some of y'all have to explain that to you kids later, but you're like, what's that? Can I not watch it on my iPhone? You know, today's society, right? But I remember those days, man, with the radio. This is an alert of your emergency broadcasting system. Hurricane, blah, 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 is 200 miles from shore. Evacuations are blah, blah, blah. There was not, now listen, we were country folk. We go, whatever. Maybe if it was a real bad one, we'd go to my grandmother's house. My grandmother lived in a brick and mortar house. We felt a little more secure in that 1920-something house. If it had made it that long, we felt it was pretty secure. And there were times we would come back and you know, things would be destroyed and things like that. But can I tell you, a trailer's not a place to be when a hurricane comes. And most of the time, the best thing to do is just to pack up and head north somewhere to get out of it. But can I tell you that we live in a stormy world, don't we? We live in a world of hurricanes and analogy speaking here, we live in a world of tornadoes. We live in a world of chaos. And can I tell you that when you get underneath the wings of God, when you get underneath His protection, it's a strong place and nothing can get under there. I remember when me and Danya bought our first house, or I bought my first house. We weren't married yet. We were engaged, and it was a single wide. 18 years old, they gave me a loan for a single wide. What crazy fools they were. I remember when they brought it out there, they parked it on our property, and they put those little straps on there, you know, little metal straps. And I think it's kind of funny sometimes because I've seen pictures of everything taken except for the little wheels and the foundation of it. The straps work, it just didn't hold the house on there. And can I just remind you that if you're a child of God today and you nestle yourself up underneath the wings of God, it's a strong place. He's going to take care of you. And if something comes into your life, it's either because you got out from underneath His wings or God allowed it in your life and that He thinks that you need it. By the way, a lot of times we don't want stuff, but we need things. Let me give you the next thing. Number two, underneath the wings of God, we see it's a sure place. It's a sure place. Look at verse 3, if you will. Go back to verse 3. Notice the first word. He says, surely, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. That word fowler in your Bible just simply means a trapper. Those who are trappers, who trap different animals. He says, and from the noisome pestilence. That noisome means wicked. Pestilent means plague. It means wickedness. And those who seek to... Who's the trapper of our world? Old Satan, right? He wants to trap you. He wants to get you in a snare. And can I just remind you that God, underneath His wings, is a sure place. I read this story a long time ago, and I put it in here, and I'll just read it. It says, after a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, a forest ranger began to trek up the mountain to assess the inferno's damage. One ranger found a bird literally petrified in ashes, perched statuesquely on the ground of a base of a tree. Somewhat sickened by the sight, he knocked over the bird with a stick. When he struck it, three chicks scurried from underneath the dead mother's wings. Can I tell you that's what God will do no matter what happens? Yes, he's a strong place, but I'm going to tell you He's a sure place. He's a safe place this morning. And just like all the hells of this world could come and burn around you, but God's going to protect you because it's a sure place. I never forget when I was pastoring down in Burnett, Texas, and we had had some friends over for 4th of July, and I thought about this the other day. It still cracks me up till this day. And by the way, me and fireworks it's never went, wow, that was good. Usually at the end of my fireworks show, somebody almost died. And this is one of those stories. I have many of them. That's why you don't see me out there shooting fireworks no more. Me and Caleb, one year, wherever you went, Caleb, we were shooting fireworks. I think you'll remember this. It was you, I think. And some guy comes in and puts a mortar upside down, goes through the table out there, a 3/4-inch plywood. I said, I'm done. That's the last year I ever got out on the ball field with that fireworks. But anyway, back to my story. Is that down in Burnett, we had a preacher friend of ours over and his family, and we were out there shooting fireworks for the 4th of July, and we were out there having a good time and, you know, just shooting off fireworks. So we were going to start shooting off one of these that has, like, you know, 12 or so in there, and they're pretty big, you know. So I lit it, and I walked away, and when I did, it fell over. Because I'm Michael Wiggins, it couldn't have fell that way, that way, that way. It had to fall this way. Now, I don't know if y'all know, but I have a daughter named Bailey who does not go anywhere fast. Right? My whole family takes off running. I take off running and I tackle Bailey. With my hand raised, I cover her with my body. And all I feel is, zoom, zoom. I get up, I've got burn marks on my jacket, on my back. I mean, it was 1st of July, or maybe it was 1st of year, because I think I had a jacket on or something. I almost killed kinfolks, all these stories run together. But I remember those fireworks, boom, shoot, boom, shoot, boom. And I'm just covering her, and she's like, And if it could, I should write a book one day on stuff that happens to me. No, stuff that happens to me, you can't make it up. People ask me all the time, you make up all those stories. I promise you, with my hand raised, these things happen to me. It's like God just looks at me and goes, he's funny. And I'm telling you, but my thought as a father, I wanted to do all I could to protect my daughter. I wanted to put my body on her to make sure that nothing harmed. Could you imagine if I have that love for my daughter, how much more love God has for you? And how he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you, that he'll put his body on your body. He gave his body for your body. He gave his body for your soul. He gave his body for your life this morning. It's a sure place. You need to come underneath God's wings this morning. Why? Because he's not going anywhere. Let me put a P.S. on this. It's sure as long as you stay where you're supposed to be. Michael Wiggins' problem so many times is that I get out from underneath the wings of God. I get out from the shadow of the Almighty, and I quit allowing him to be boss in my life and Lord in my life. I quit allowing him to have the preeminence in my life. And when that happens, guess what? His wings can come up and I can go out from underneath him. But listen, as long as I stay with him, he's going to stay with me. And it's a sure place that I don't have to sit around and go, well, I think God's going to watch out for me today. That's why I'm so glad I believe in eternal salvation. You know what? I don't have to believe in eternal salvation. The Bible teaches eternal salvation. I don't have to wake up every day and go, whoa, I wonder if I'm saved or not. You know why? Because he's a sure Savior. He's a sure Savior. And once you're saved, you're always saved. Why? Because I didn't earn it. He gave it to me. What would it be like if he came back and said, give me that back? He wouldn't be my father, and he wouldn't be yours, but he's a true and sure God this morning. But I want you to focus in on something real quick. I want you to go down, if you will, to verse 4. And notice not only is it a strong place underneath his wings, a sure place, a safe place, but also I want you to notice it's a soft place. You know, so many times we think about God as one with a lightning bolt up in heaven waiting on you to mess up. Waiting on you to slip up somewhere so he can take a lightning bolt like Zeus and send it down there and go, ha, 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 that's not my God. My God's the opposite of that. My God doesn't want us to mess up. And if we mess up, you know what he wants us to do? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's waiting on you to come back. He's the father of the prodigal. He's waiting on you. He'd leave the 99, come find the one. That's the kind of God I have. He is a God of love. Now, he's a God of justness too. Don't make him mad. I heard one preacher say one time, don't tick God off and see what he does. He may not do nothing. He may do something, but I don't want to test it, right? There was one person in my life I didn't want to make mad. That was my grandmother on my dad's side. She was a mean lady. Mean lady. She was something else. She was. You've heard of those families, my grandmother was a rough one, and she was something else. I'm thankful she got saved later on in life. But I'll tell you what. One thing you didn't do. You didn't make my grandmother mad. And my grandmother was one of those things that she may have one good day out of 1,000. And if you found that day, it was like, you were scared, like, okay, she's not. But usually it was like, go outside and get a pear branch. Right? And if you came back in with the little one, you go back until you got the right size. And then every time you had to come back, that's an extra spanking. Right? And I learned, too, the little ones, they hurt worse. I got to where I bring her one she couldn't swing. Bring her one with the pears on it. At least you have something to eat while you're getting the spanking, right? You know? And, but man, she was mean. Me and my cousin, we'd always ride bicycles and come back to my grandmother's house and get some water or something like that. And man, I tell you what, if you did one little thing, she would just go off on you. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't want to test God and see what he can do, too. So I want to say God is a God of love. He's a just God, and he loves you, and he cares for you. And let me say that go back to verse 4. He says, and he shall cover thee with his, notice that. It didn't say wings to start with. It said feathers. It talks about just, there's two parts of a structure of a wing. There is the actual bony parts that are a cartilage a lot of times, and then there's the feathers. And he says he will cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Notice he says feathers. I began to study bird feathers. I really love bird watching. About like shopping at the mall. It was grueling, but I was like, I need to study a little bit about birds. And I began to study, and it's amazing how when you study bird feathers, by the way, God's an amazing creator, that he made bird feathers and that their wings to be strong, to be insulated, to be waterproof, but also to be soft. Has anybody ever had a down pillow, a feather pillow? Man, those are soft, aren't they? That's what they use. They'll take these feathers and they'll make a pillow out of it. Used to make mattresses out of them many, many years ago. And can I say that God is showing us an illustration here that not only is he strong, not only is it a safe and sure place, but it is a soft place. In other words, God cares for you. God wants to remind us that he does have a soft side toward his children and that God loves you enough that he's going to take care of you. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 18 and verse 35. He says, thou hast also given me a shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand holdest me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Study the word gentle in Jesus. They go hand in hand. Meekness and gentleness that he is, and he is a meek God. And I think about when a chicken has those hens underneath her, or the chicks underneath the hen there, and how she could smother them, right? I mean, she really could, but she's very careful with those. Let me remind you that God is not just there to protect you, not just there to shield you, but he's there to care for you. What's the greatest thing in life when you get hurt is to go run to mama, right? What do you want mama to do? Want her to hold you. At least that's the way I am. My dad was like, you know, get away. Get out there and play in the yard. Get some dirt on it. But I'm hurt. It hurts. I have a pulse in my finger now. Get out there. You know, you'd be bleeding and daddy's like, rah-rah-rah, you know, or grandpa or somebody like that. But mama's like, come here, baby. That's what I wanted. I just wanted attention, really. I wasn't really hurt, right? Hello. Men, we're the same way with our wives. Our wife could be giving birth, and we'd be, ow, ow, I pressed the button, and it hurt. Babe, I need your help, right? And she's like, ah, you know. I mean, seriously, men, right? We're like, everything hurts, right? You're like, what are you doing? I'm giving birth to your baby. Well, I'm hurt. But you know what? It's an amazing thing. And I always say, don't say dumb stuff. And there it goes. Here's your son. And I was thinking the other day, I was thinking that how much God cares for me even in my stupidity. How he loves me and he takes care of me. And how many times in my life have I failed him, but yet he gathers me back underneath his wings in a gentle motion, in a gentle way that he cares for us. You ever watch a mother with her child and you think of a father with their child or a grandparent with their grandchild and you think of the care that they give that child, that it cannot compare to the care that God gives us. how many times that we come to God in pain and in agony. Matter of fact, if you want a good study, go over to Job and realize how many times Job talks about the wings of God, how he gathered underneath there in a time of trouble and all the anguish that Job was going through. But yet you also see how much God cared for him, how God was patient with him. Aren't you glad God is patient with us? That God doesn't just, when we mess up, He doesn't all of a sudden take us and kick us out and tell us never come back again. But God is careful and God is caring with us. And God is consoling to us. You ever gone through a time in your life where maybe a loved one has passed away, or maybe you're facing a sickness, maybe you're facing some kind of tragedy in your life, and nobody in this room could comfort you like God can? You know what the Bible tells us about God? That He is the God of all comfort. In other words, none other can comfort like He can. None other can care. None other can console like our God. He's gentle with us, and that He cares for us. Go on down, if you will. I want you to look at just a couple more verses here. He says in look at verse 5. He says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilent that walketh into darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh to thee." Why not? Because God's protecting you. Because God's caring for you. You say, "Well, I need a little something else." Well, God said this about us. He said in verse 11, He said, "He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." And look at this. He says, when it gets too tough, He said, "They'll bear you up on their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." God says, listen, things get too tough down here, He's given His angels charge over us to bear us up and to care for us. You know who would care for the Lord in the book of Matthew in chapter 4? The Bible says in chapter 4, it says the Holy Spirit took Jesus up into a high place where Satan was going to tempt him. And it says, afterwards, His angels came and ministered unto Him. God loves you enough to give you some heavenly beings to care for you also. You know, it's kind of a three-faced thing. God cares for you. He's got angelic beings that care for you, and He's got human beings that care for you. You realize there's a bunch of people in this room that care for you today? That if you were to go through something, that they could come and help you and gird you up and with gentleness and meekness. Listen, sometimes we need to be roughed up. There's illustrations of that. Matter of fact, there's an illustration of wings in the Bible where Jesus talks about the Israelites. They wasn't doing what they were supposed to do. And He said, as an eagle that stirreth her nest, He says, "I kicked you out, but I knew you wasn't ready, and I swooped down and I picked you back up again." See, they needed to be stirred a little bit, and God did a little stirring in their life. God maybe sometimes needs to do a little stirring in mine and your life. Maybe He needs to kick us out of the nest. I heard that illustration. I didn't really like it at the time, but our pastor used that illustration of us leaving Florida and going to seminary. He says, you know, the Lord stirs your nest. I said, well, I wished He quit, because I like where I'm at. But you know what? Before I left, I didn't like where I was at. I wanted to be somewhere else where God wanted me, because God used those feathers, those wings, and with care and with compassion in my life, that He cared for me. He's like, you got to go. And that He would bear us up and He would carry us and take care of us. I look back on our time in the ministry, 25 years, and I go, the Lord's good. Wow, I look back and I just go, man. I see times where I was like, I don't know what we're going to do here, but God just comes and He cares for His own. I think about some of you here today, things you've gone through in your life, and how God has cared for you with meekness and with gentleness in your life. I want to read this last verse one more time. But I want you to notice in verse 9, if you will. He says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High. Notice the next word, the next phrase, thy habitation. In verse 10, he says it again in a different way. He says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to what? Thy dwelling. See, God should be your habitation. You know what that means? That simply means your place. Right? That the place where you abide, that He should be your place. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I say He's not your habitation? That you are not with God, that you, just because you're born into America, just because maybe your parents are saved, just because you come to church, doesn't mean you're a child of God. The world may say, oh, we're all children of God, but that's not what God says. Now, we're all creatures of God and created by God, but I'm telling you this morning, the only way to be part of God's family, He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself, it's a gift of God. And He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I say, Jesus, the very word said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You got to go by Jesus. You know what Jesus is doing today? He's got His wings spread open for you just like He did on the cross. And He's wanting you to come underneath His protection. He's wanting you to come underneath His blood. You know, whenever the Old Testament, they had to go underneath the doorpost, put the blood on the doorpost and go in the house. When Noah made the ark and the Bible says that God said, come on in, Noah, they had to go in. Listen, you got to go to Christ. You got to go in through Christ, and He paid the price for you. You must call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. The psalmist tells us here that in verse 16, and I'll be done, or verse 15, he says, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. But notice what he says, verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know what salvation means? It means to be rescued. Have you been rescued today? Child of God, maybe you need to come underneath the wings of God this morning and allow Him to protect you. It's a strong place. Nothing's going to get in. Nothing can get to you unless God allows it. It's a sure place. It's a safe place that God has put there for you. But can I say it's also a soft place. God's going to care for you. Just like a nurse in the Bible talks about a nurse a lot of times that care for the children and that they nourish them. Just as that, God does that for us. Matter of fact, the Bible refers to Him in Psalm 23 as our shepherd. You know what a shepherd does? He cares for his sheep. And that's what God will do for you this morning. If you're not saved, we want you to come. And we always have workers down here in front with a Bible. We'll show you what the Bible says about salvation. But child of God, maybe today you're just going through maybe some storms, maybe something in your life, and you just need to come nestle yourself underneath God. Can I, again, just preach to me real quick? Too many times I try to figure out how to get out of things. Instead of getting into Christ and letting Him get me out of it and shield me from it and maybe take me through it. I remember one time our family was stayed at home and we were at my grandmother's house and the tornado sirens went off with a hurricane coming in. There was supposedly a tornado. My grandmother was terrified of weather growing up, and she made all of us get in the center of the house and put mattresses on top of us. By the way, back in those days, mattresses were not light. But I remember the sirens going off and the wind was blowing. It was so dark outside you couldn't see. Rain was coming down. And all of us grandkids and kids, and there was a bunch of us in this house, and we got like two mattresses and like four people are covered. And I remember thinking, I'm getting under there. Move my brother, move my cousins out of the way. I'm coming in. Right? And I was the favorite grandchild anyway, so I was like, I called her, Nanny, I need to get in there. And we're all underneath this mattress, and of course, nothing ever happens, you know. And we're thankful for that. But I remember thinking in my mind, I've got to get way under there. Why? Because I want to be protected from this storm. And you know what Christ says today? Come on. I'll put you as far as I can put you. And I'm going to hold you and I'll take care of you. And He gives you an invitation today. Come. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love You. Thank You for the day that You've given us, God. Thank You for Your care for us. Lord, thank You that You have given us a place that we can run to, that we can hide in. Lord, in the midst of a turbulent world and, Lord, in a troubled world. Lord, I pray if there be anybody here today that does not know Jesus Christ, Lord, they have not seen that You're good today, that You're a Savior, willing to save them. Or would You convince them and convict them today, Lord, of their sin, that God, You save them. Lord, I pray you bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're going to sing.